In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, help us. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to return to this notion of the priest joining Jesus as victim, but I think it's important for us to see that it doesn't make any sense, and it doesn't, and we're not motivated to do it unless we hear him talking to us in prayer. So what I'm going to do this morning, it'll be more, it's morning here anyway, start to talk about prayer. Now, this is a definition from the Catechism, 2564. It's remarkable. Christian prayer is a covenant relationship between God and man in Christ. It is the action, this is amazing, this Christian prayer is an action of God and of man, springing forth both from the Holy Spirit and ourselves, wholly directed to the Father in union with the human will of the Son of God made man. What a classic expression of prayer. It goes from a child saying the Hail Mary to John of the Cross. First thing to notice, it's a covenant relationship. Prayer transpires in a covenant relationship. The Eucharist, you know, this is the new covenant. But everything, and as we'll see later, in the covenant relationship, Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34, days are coming when I'll make a new law and all the rest, and I'll write my law in their heart. So from the moment we're baptized, the Spirit is praying in us. And our job is to get in touch with and in sync with him. He's moving us toward the Father. Twice in Galatians and Romans, Paul talks about the Spirit praying Abba. In other words, bearing us to the Father. That started the moment of our baptism, that we would be moved by the Holy Spirit. You know that famous text of St. Ignatius of Antioch? My love has been crucified, and I am not on fire with the love of earthly things. You know, for my food I desire the flesh of the Son of David. It's not exact, but it's close. And for my drink his holy blood. Now I hear another voice within me, like the sound of many waters. And it says, come to the Father, come to the Father, come to the Father. That began in us the moment we were baptized. And if we never lost the grace of God, the Spirit has been doing that ever since. And prayer, in one level then, is getting in sync with this movement of the Holy Spirit, who, just as he did the soul of Jesus himself, you see, bears us along with Jesus back to the Father, saying, come to the Father, come to the Father. So that's prayer. Now, how does that break down? Well, that's what I want to talk about for a while. One of my favorite texts in the whole Bible is 1 Peter 1:8. It says, although you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, yet you believe in him. You rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. That's prayer. You see? You haven't seen him, and yet you love him. That's a miracle. How can I love somebody I never saw? You see, the Holy Spirit brings us to that spiritual vision of Jesus, which is a sense, an awareness. It's not like with my eyes. So I've never seen him that way, but I love him. And even though I don't see him now, I believe in him. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. You rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. That's prayer. It's a miracle. Though I never saw him, I love him. I'm going to go now with a couple of other definitions from the Catechism. First, as you probably recall, when they get to this section on prayer, the first quote, I think it's the first, is from St. Therese. For me, prayer is a surge of the heart. It is a simple look toward heaven. It is a cry of recognition and of love, embracing both trial and joy. Now, that's from a doctor of the church. There's a lot I want to do. Okay, this is 2563, which is also describing prayer as covenant. This is from the Catechism. The heart is the dwelling place where I am, where I live. According to the Semitic or biblical expression, it is the heart to which I withdraw. The heart is the place in man which is directly confronting God with no mediator. God and the heart. God sees the heart. The heart relates to God. The heart, as this text says, is our hidden center, beyond the grasp of our reason and of others. Only the Spirit of God can fathom the human heart and know it fully. And it's there that he's praying. Abba, Abba, Abba. He wants to bring us into that rhythm so that the whole of our consciousness, our whole of our mind, you see, is saying, Father, Father. That brings us in union with the soul of Jesus. There's a rhythm described by many people, and it goes like this. See, Mary, according to the Vatican document from the Council, Mary exercises influxus, not just example in prayer, influence on us. So it says, this influence there, you see, is what? It disposes us to yield to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit forms in us the very heart and attitudes of Jesus by which we love the Father. That's the rhythm. So come to the Father. Come to the Father. You see, the heart is the place of decision, deeper than our psychic drives. It is the place of truth, where we choose life or death. It is the place of encounter, because as image of God, we live in relation. It is the place of covenant. All right, now I'm going to talk today about four acts of prayer. There are another four acts I'll talk about next time, but this one, this I find helpful when somebody's trying to make a comeback. How am I going to pray? Or when you're teaching lay people. Look at the four parts of the Mass, the four Mass. First, we repent for our sins. Then we listen to the Word of God. Then we praise God, hallelujah, and the rest. Finally, we intercede. Those are the four parts of the Mass. If you could just remember that, you see, when you go to pray, first thing to do is repent. But we repent from our heart. Therefore, it's a work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always moving us to repent. Not to make the life lugubrious, but to join us with an unbreakable bond to the Father. Sorry for our sins. It is such a grace. When I was in the hospital, one day, I was lying there all alone in my room, and I was still a little bit from everything. The Father, the Holy Spirit, brought me to the Father, and I went over my whole life repenting for all my sins. It was such a grace. So repentance, according to Mother Bashelia Schlink, is the joy-filled life. It's real. We've sinned, we ask repentance, we're forgiven, life is on a firm basis. The Word of God, in our own prayer, and I'll be back to this one, the Word of God, read it. Wait something to touch your heart. You see, let's say we're talking about an hour. And for a priest, an hour a day is minimal equipment for survival. So 15 minutes on the first part, and you ask the Holy Spirit to show you where to repent. 15 minutes on the Word of God. You take up whatever you want. The Psalms, Jeremiah, just crack open the Bible. And you wait for the Lord to touch you. You know, I taught this at Steubenville to the students. And so I'd ask them all the time when I was passing them on the campus, what did the Lord say to you today? So some of them told me, like they had a class at 8:30, and it was 8:25. They said, Lord, please talk fast. I've got to get to class. And I don't want Father Francis to ask me. But it did help them and train them to expect God to talk to them. And then praise. You know, we're going to get a culture shock in heaven if we don't praise now. It's just praise. Well, praise is also the work of the Holy Spirit in us, but we can prime the pump. First time, I mean, so many people have said this to me, priests as well. Lord, I praise you, I love you, I guarantee you that I want to give my whole life to you, I praise you. Oh my God, I got 12 minutes left. What do I do now? It shows you how impoverished we are. The greatest people in the world for praise are the Jews. They know how to praise one another. And if they're devout, they know how to praise God. So, you can take a psalm, you can recite the creed, you can do what you want, but you praise God and get used to it. And finally, we intercede, and this is the one we know the best. This is a priestly action of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is carrying us. And part of that intercession, as I pointed out last time, is vicarious suffering. So, that's one structure for prayer. I'm going to show you some others. But it's an easy one to remember when you go, what am I supposed to do now that I'm here? You know? Repent. And then get a word. Then praise, like the Alleluia. And then intercede, which is the prayer of the faithful. Okay. That'll be enough for today. Was a big help when someone gave me a structure for prayer. So I share one. And we'll have to move on now.